all of a sudden, not many people were aware of his plan. Only some very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were aware that he was planning to take sannyas. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only 24 years old. And he was married. His wife was a young girl of 15, 16. And his mother was very old. She was over 60 years old at that time. And Mahaprabhu was the only male member in the family. Just a family of three, mother, son, and daughter-in-law. There was no other male member. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He, in the middle of the night, he left home when his mother and wife were asleep. And he went to Katwa from Navadvip, a place on the bank of the Ganges. He travelled through the night, walked all the way to Katwa, and he went to the house or ashram of Keshav Bharati and begged him to give him sannyas. And Keshav Bharati gave him sannyas. It was a very pathetic sight, a very painful sight. Mahaprabhu was very beautiful. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we can well imagine how beautiful he was. And he had long hair, long curly hair, jet black curly hair. And he shaved hair off, shaved his head. It has been described, the barber was shaving his head. He did not take any water to soak his hair. The tears that was flowing from his eyes soaked Mahaprabhu's head. And with the tears in his eyes flowing incessantly, he shaved Mahaprabhu's head. And after shaving Mahaprabhu's head, he said, he is not going to shave anyone's head anymore. He threw away his razor. Keshav Bharati gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyas. Thousands of people came just by receiving the news. The Nimai Pandit was a very famous personality. Everybody knew him in that area. For hundreds of miles, people knew about Nimai Pandit. He was so extraordinary in all respects. He was famous for his beauty. He was famous for his scholarship. He was famous for his intelligence. So people at that time used to just speak about him only, Nimai Pandit. At the age of 14, he defeated the greatest scholar of India, Keshav Kashmiri. And he defeated him without getting into a debate with him. He defeated him in a most wonderful way. Keshav Kashmiri challenged him. Oh, you are Nimai Pandit. Pandit means scholar. So you are scholar, let's see what's the extent of your scholarship. But Mahaprabhu very humbly admitted, people call me Nimai Pandit, but actually I'm not that scholarly. I'm a simple person. And then Nimai Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri admitted, oh, I can see that you are very humble. Anyway, so I appreciate your humble disposition. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, since I came in contact with you, let me take advantage of your association. Let me hear from you. Please say something. Keshav Kashmiri, very proud person, very arrogant. He defeated all the scholars of India. Navadvipa was the only place which was left to be conquered. If he could conquer Navadvipa, then he would be recognized as the greatest scholar of India. And this was also Mahaprabhu's arrangement. He made him defeat all the scholars of India, and then he brought him to Navadvipa, and he defeated him. So who became the greatest scholar? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without even traveling around India, he got the credit, he got the recognition as the greatest scholar. So Keshav Kashmiri asked, so what do you want to hear from me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this Ganga is flowing. The deliverer of the 14th planetary system. Please describe the glory of Ganga. Let me hear. Then Keshav Kashmiri immediately started to recite poetries in glorification of Ganga. He composed 100 poems, 100 shlokas, extremely beautiful in rhyme and meter and ornaments. These are the three aspects of poetry. It must have rhyme, it must have proper meter, and it must, the more the ornaments it has, the better of a poetry it is. So these are the ornaments. In Sanskrit they are known as alankar. Like in English poetry or other poetry, you don't get that. You don't get alankar as such because the language is not so rich. Like what is, to give an example of alankar, like the words beginning with the same letter is one kind of alankar. Like, say for example, kumkumakto kanchanabjo garbo hari gaurava. Say kumkumakto kanchanabjo, kumkumakto kanchanabjo, garbo hari, this garbo, see, kumkumakto kanchanabjo, starting with K, these two words are starting with the same letter ki. Then garva hari gaurava. Garva starting with ga and gaurava, gaurava. Pita nanchi, this, and then these combined words also, the same kind of combined words in the middle of the words also create the alankar, means ornaments. Kumkumakto kanchanabjo garbo hari gaurabha. Pita nanchi tabja gandha kirti nindi saurabha. Balla vesha shunu sharva banchitartha sadhika maihamatma padapadana dasya dastu radhika. Where do you get this meter? Where do you get this kind of rhyme? And where do you get this alankar, this ornaments of the poetry? I extend some special favor to those who carry mobile phones. You know what's that favor? That as many times the phone will ring, that many times you'll get the opportunity to sponsor the Sunday feast. So those who want to have this golden opportunity for sponsoring Sunday feast, please keep your mobile phones on. So Keshav Kashmiri composed his poetry in such beautiful way. 100 verses, like he was such a brilliant person. Like right there he composed those poems and delivered them, recited them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there surrounded by his students at that time on the bank of the Ganges. And everyone was awestruck seeing this brilliant display of Keshav Kashmiri's genius. And then after reciting Keshav Kashmiri, as I told you, he was quite an arrogant person. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "So, how did you like it?" Mahaprabhu said, "It was nice, very nice, excepting a few mistakes here and there." Keshav Kashmiri became furious. He says, "Mistake in my composition, in my poetry? Who do you think you are? You're simply a teacher of grammar. You're a little lad, little boy. Who are you to judge my composition?" Then after he gave a piece of his mind to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he asked, "What was the mistake? What are the mistakes that do you think there were?" Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very humbly, just picked up one verse out of those 100 verses, the 64th verse. And in one verse he pointed out 6 mistakes. And Keshav Kashmiri was dumbfounded. He was devastated. Actually, Keshav Kashmiri had the benediction from the goddess of learning, Saraswati, that she would always reside in his mouth. Therefore, like what Keshav Kashmiri was to speak was actually presentation of Saraswati. And that's why nobody could actually defeat Keshav Kashmiri. So Keshav Kashmiri then, with his head bent down in shame, walked away from there. When he went back to his place, he was crying, telling Saraswati, "Why did you humiliate me in this way? You made me accept defeat from a 14-year-old boy." Saraswati appeared to Keshav Kashmiri and told him, "Keshav, today your learning has been successful. Because the personality who defeated you is none other than my Lord and Master, Sri Krishna himself." So this is the perfection of your wisdom, perfection of your knowledge, perfection of your scholarship. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself defeated you. Can you imagine what a great honor it is for you? Then Keshav Kashmiri came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fell at his feet, submitted himself to him. So this was how, this is how brilliant Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. And naturally, everyone knew about him. And when the word spread that Nimai Pandit is taking sannyas, people just came from everywhere. Then after taking sannyas, Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan. So from Katwa, he set out for Vrindavan. He was not, didn't just left for Vrindavan, he was running. He was running. And along with him there were only three associates: Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, were two of them. But Nityananda Prabhu tricked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew that in separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the residents of Navadvip would be completely heartbroken. So Nityananda Prabhu felt that actually they should get a last chance to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he left. Because those days when one took sannyas, that meant that's the end of him. Nobody would get to know where he was, where he went. He would be lost forever. He would never come back. Those days communication was not that advanced. Those days also the sannyasis did not want to go anywhere, did not want to go home. They would stay at one place. They would just wander from places of pilgrimage to other places of pilgrimage. So Nityananda Prabhu decided that he should take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Navadvip. And he sent the message to Advaitacharya that I'll bring him back, so you'll get ready to receive him. And so Nityananda Prabhu made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he misled him and brought him to Ambika Kalna, a place near the Ganges, on the bank of the Ganges, just opposite to Shantipur where Advaitacharya used to live. And he brought him there, and then Mahaprabhu saw some cowherd boys. And he asked, and Nityananda Prabhu already told this cowherd boy, that when he asks you, what's this place, you tell them this is Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw these cows and cowherd boys, he had a feeling that he came to Vrindavan. And he asked Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda, what is this place? He said, you have come to Vrindavan. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked his cowherd boys, and the boys also said, yes, this is Vrindavan. And he saw the river Ganga, and Mahaprabhu thought that this must be Jamuna. So he just plunged into the river. And then Advaitacharya in the meantime came with a boat. And he, from the boat, he grabbed Mahaprabhu's hand and tried to pick him up on the boat. Mahaprabhu said, hey, Advaita, how did you come here? He said, why? I'm just on the other side of the river. Nityananda told me to come. And he asked me to come and receive you. And by the way, here is some dry clothes. so wear them. Mahaprabhu became very, very upset with Nityananda Prabhu. He said, Nityananda, why did you lie to me? You said that this is Vrindavan, this is Yamuna. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, no, I didn't lie. The Mahaprabhu said, what do you mean you didn't lie? You said this is Vrindavan. You told with your own mouth, I heard with my own ears that you are saying that this is Vrindavan, and yes, you are denying it now. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, yes, this is Vrindavan. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. And as far as Yamuna is concerned, after Ganga and Yamuna met in Prayag, the Yamuna is flowing on the left hand side of the river and Ganga is flowing on the right hand side of the river. No, I'm sorry, the other way around. The Ganga is flowing on the left hand side of the river and Yamuna is flowing on the right hand side of the river. So this is, since this is the right bank, this is actually Yamuna. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu misled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought him to Shantipur, and then all the residents of Navadvip got a chance to come and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, the whole of Navadvip came. Everyone left Navadvip and came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so dear to them that they just, when they got the news that he left home to take sannyas, their heart broke into pieces. And now when they got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, they just got their life air back and they all ran to Shantipur to meet him. It has been described, the only person who has left behind, the only person who didn't come to Shantipur to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Vishnu Priya Devi. Because in the Vedic culture, when the wife doesn't meet the husband after he takes sannyas, so she followed that standard. Seeing Mother Vishnu Priya, seeing Mother Mother Sachi Mata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so heartbroken. He was telling Mother, "I made a mistake. By taking sannyas, I made a mistake. I didn't consider that there is no one to take care of you. Why did I do that? Why did I act in such irresponsible way? So I'll give up my sannyas and I'll go back home to take care of you." Sachi Mata said, "No, don't do that. Then what will people say? People tell. They'll laugh at you. You have accepted sannyas and then again you are giving it up. So no, remain fixed in your sannyas vow. But stay close to me. And stay so that I can hear, I can get your news from the people who will come to Navadvip and from people who will go to that place." And she decided, she suggested that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri and stayed there. On Sachi Mata's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Jagannath Puri. Generally, when one used to take sannyas, he used to travel. And as I said, no one would ever get to know him, get to see him. His family members will not get to see him again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother, Vishwaroop, took sannyas, but he was lost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never met him again. what to speak of his father and mother. So that is how sannyas used to be those days. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to stay in Jagannath Puri so that Sachi Mata could get information about him from the people who would go to Jagannath Puri from Navadvip. And from Jagannath Puri also people used to come to Navadvip to take advantage of the holy place on the bank of the Ganges. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, the news spread that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who came as a devotee. And he is distributing Krishna consciousness. And many people, although at the beginning, did not accept that statement that he is God. But eventually, they became convinced. One such person was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest exponent of the Vedanta philosophy at that time. He was the head of the sannyasis in a way. Very, very learned, very scholarly, and spiritually very powerful individual. So he could not accept that this person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he was tinged, his consciousness, his understanding was tinged with Mayavad. So that's why, because he was a Mayavadi, he couldn't recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor did he want to accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he challenged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, denied that he didn't want to accept it. But eventually he also accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was also another very brilliant personality. And he wrote, when he accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very mercifully showed him his six-armed form, Sadbhuj form. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered also some beautiful poetry, beautiful prayers in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the prayers is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikhartameka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Buddhi Jastamaham Prapate Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikhartameka Purusha Purana Purusha Purana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to teach Vairagya Vidya, the science of renunciation, which is Nija Bhakti Yogam, which is devotion to Himself. The Supreme Personality of Godhead came to teach the science or process of detachment from this material nature, which is his Nija Bhakti Yoga, his own bhakti. He appeared as Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. He has appeared as Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of mercy, Kripam Budhirja, who is an ocean of mercy, Tamahang Prapadde, I surrender myself unto him. So the person who was in total defiance, who would not accept that this personality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who did not even accept the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who used to think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have any form, doesn't have any quality, doesn't have any pastimes, doesn't have any attributes. So that person accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another person who did not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead was the king of Orissa, King Pratap Rudra. A very powerful king. He was practically one of the few, very few kings in India who was upholding and protecting the Vedic culture, Sanatan Dharma. Otherwise, rest of India was taken over by the Muslims. The whole of India practically was under the Muslim domination. But he was the only one who maintained his sovereignty as a Vedic king. He was protecting the Vedic culture, Sanatan Dharma. He was protecting the glory of Lord Jagannath. And he also could not accept that this person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu couldn't care less whether somebody accepted him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not. So, after staying in Jagannath Puri for some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for South India, to travel to South India. And then he went to Northwest India. In the meantime, during his travel, something very wonderful happened. And when King Prataprudra got to hear about that, then he accepted, yes, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That incident was, Mahaprabhu was traveling. He used to sometimes stop in some village in his travel and stay in the house of some brahmana for that night. And he would instruct on Krishna bhakti, Krishna prem. And then the next morning he would leave. And so he stopped in one brahmana's house. And in the neighborhood, in that area, there was one very, very exalted devotee of Krishna, another Brahmin. But unfortunately, he was afflicted with leprosy. And his leprosy was in such advanced stage that his flesh was melting away, actually rotting away. In leprosy, not only the flesh rots away, even the bones rot away. And that's how they lose the fingers, the nose, and the body becomes all rotten. And the pus starts to ooze from that and flesh melts away. And in those rotten, ulcered area, there are, in his body, there were these worms. As it is, leprosy is a very, very painful disease. You can well imagine when the body is just rotting away. And then on top of that, these worms used to eat the rotten flesh. But this person was so compassionate that he did not deprive the worms from eating his body away. He considered that this is their food. So if somehow I can be of some benefit to them, Let them derive that benefit. So much so that if some worms would fall out, you would pick them up and put them back, to the owner. So this personality, Vasudev Bipra, he got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came rather late. The next morning he got to know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come in the village. And so many people saw him. And he spent the whole night associating, giving his association to the villagers. They spent the whole night. And so when he got the news, he ran to the house of this Brahmana. But when he reached there, he got the news that Mahaprabhu already left. And he was so heartbroken that the Supreme Personality of Godhead came so close to him and he couldn't get to see him. He started to beat his breast and roll on the ground crying. Why did I become so deprived of this wonderful good fortune of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead with my own eyes? Mahaprabhu, who traveled some distance already, he turned around and he came back to the house. This Brahmana who was rolling on the ground, crying piteously, he picked him up from the ground. And although his whole body was rotten with leprosy, Mahaprabhu embraced him. And just by the touch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only his leprosy was cured, he got a form as beautiful as that of a demigod. It was brilliant, beautiful form, effulgent with brilliant radiation of the spiritual glow. This news spread everywhere that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has cured the leper. When King Prataparudra got to know that, he became convinced that this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reasoned that there has been many people, many great personalities, many exalted spiritual personalities have cured lepers. That's not a so uncommon an incidence. Curing a leper is not such a great act, not such an unusual act. But never ever anyone embraced that leper. Now this personality embraced that leper. Who can display such compassion? Other than the Supreme Father. It is the Father who displays such compassion to his son because of his love for him. And this kind of love can be displayed by the Supreme Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Prataparudra became aware of this fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became very sad that when this personality was so close to him, he could not associate with him. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back, then Prataparudra became very keen to see him. And he started to ask different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were also very close associates to him, like Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Shikhi Mahiti, Kashi Mishra. They were all very close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also, they were very close to the king. Kashi Mishra was Pratap Rudra's spiritual master. Ramananda Roy was his minister, governor. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was the crest jewel of his assembly. So these are all very intimate associates of Pratap Rudra, and they are also very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they, he asked them, please make an arrangement for audience with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said, Mahaprabhu said, no, sannyasi should not associate with the king. King is a gross materialist. King has got the, he's such a gross materialist that he got the license to enjoy the material nature. So, I'm a renunciate. I, being in renounced order of life, I should not meet with a king. So, the more they pursued, the more determined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became not to see him. Then finally, Pratap Rudra, he told that he would become a sannyasi. He would give up his kingdom. And he would become a sannyasi himself. So when Mahaprabhu heard that, then Mahaprabhu said, okay, I won't see him, but I will see his son, who is an extension of him. The son is the extension of the father, so seeing the son would be like seeing him. So, Mahaprabhu met his son. So strict was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in his sannyas order. Then the Ratha Yatra time came, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot. Jagannath's chariot was moving and Mahaprabhu was dancing, as if it is due to Mahaprabhu's movement that the chariot was moving. And when Mahaprabhu stopped, the chariot stopped. In this way, Jagannath was moving in his chariot. The chariot came to Balgandhi, and the place where the chariot stops, and people get an opportunity to offer their offerings to Lord Jagannath. Jagannath stops there for some time and people get a chance to make their offerings to Lord Jagannath. So in the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the adjacent garden and he laid down under a tree. And King Pratap Rudra, disguised as an ordinary village person, a farmer, he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started to massage his feet. And while massaging his feet, he started to recite some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, when it came to this particular verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just jumped up and he embraced King Pratap Rudra and started to say, indeed what you are saying is true. What you are saying is indeed very true. Very true. The personality who distributes Krishna consciousness all over the world is the most munificent personality. So this is the ninth verse of the 31st chapter of 10th canto, which is known as Gopi Gita. And the ninth verse goes like, Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kobibhir iritam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam shrimadatatam bhubi grinanti ye bhurida jana. The translation goes like, Tava kathamritam. Tava means yours. Kathamritam, the nectar of words or nectarian words. Tapta jivanam, life for those aggrieved in the material world. Tapta means burning. Whose life, who are constantly burning in this material existence. So in the people who are constantly burning, suffering in this material nature, the nectarian words about you and nectarian words of you extinguishes that suffering condition, that burning condition. Kobibhi riritam, this kathamritam, your nectarian words, your wonderful glory is distributed by and described by great thinkers. Who are those great thinkers? Those great thinkers are the great exalted devotees, like Lord Brahma. Who are the kavis? Adi kavai. The Adi Kavi is Brahma. Sukadev Goswami. Prahlad Maharaj. Narad Muni. So these are the Kavis. So Kobibhi Riritam, these great personalities, great thinkers, the most exalted devotees, they describe the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And kalmashapaham. Kalmash means impurities, and apahanam means removes, washes, cleans away. Kalmashapaham. And shravana mangalam. When we hear those words, it brings all auspiciousness. Mangalam. And Srimadatatam, it bestows the Srimad, the most precious wealth. Srimadatatam. And Bhubi Grinanti, those who distribute this glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout the world, Bhubi, throughout the planet, in the material world, Grinanti, chant and spread. Bhuri Dajana, they are the most munificent personalities. Now, King Pratapraja was actually reciting this verse in order to remind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are doing that. You are distributing Krishna Kathamritam everywhere, which brings all auspiciousness, which extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. It brings us the great, it bestows us the greatest good fortune. And therefore, you are the most munificent personality. But look what you are doing to me. I am dying to have your darshan, but you don't want to grant that to me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped up. He was lying down on the grass, And he jumped up and he embraced him, saying, Bhurida, Bhurida. Indeed, that personality is the most munificent personality. He is the greatest giver, most beneficent, most munificent, most magnanimous personality he is. Now why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respond like that? Does it mean that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting what Prataparudra was saying? That you are the most munificent personality? Obviously not. Then why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become so excited and accepting the point, yes, he is the greatest giver. One who distributes Krishna consciousness all over the world, he is the greatest giver. Now tell me, who is that personality for whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying he was the greatest giver? Who did distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world? Srila Prabhupada. So this verse bears a very special significance to us. That this verse is actually indicating Srila Prabhupada's glory, which had been accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we can consider, Mahaprabhu predicted that this movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. And now he is recognizing Bhurida, Bhurida, one who distributes this most auspicious thing for this world, most precious object in this world, throughout the world, who distributes that, he is indeed the most munificent personality. In this way we can see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acknowledged the appearance of Srila Prabhupada and recognized and appreciated Srila Prabhupada's achievement, although it would happen 500 years from that time. The background of this verse, Gopi Gita, is Krishna ran away, Krishna disappeared from the Rasa Mandali. Krishna was dancing with 64,000 gopis. Krishna expanded himself into 16,000 gopis. He expanded himself into 16,000 Krishnas. And he was dancing with the gopis. But Krishna was dancing in the larger and larger circles. That is the meaning of rasa, the circles. There is one Krishna between two gopis in that way, was dancing. But in the middle, in the center, there is one Krishna was dancing just with one gopi. Who is that? The central one? That's Srimati Radha. And at one point, Krishna just left all 16,000 gopis and went away with this one gopi. So this gopi must be very, very special. And then after a while, Krishna left that gopi also and disappeared. And while searching for Krishna, they came and found that this other gopi was all by herself, alone. And she was crying. So they all, searching for Krishna, came to the bank of Jamuna. And there they started to express the anguish of their heart. And that is the Gopi Gita, this which has been described in the 31st chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But this particular verse, the 9th verse, is from that Gopi Gita. Tava katham ritam tapto jivanam kobibhir iritam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi grinanti ye bhuridajana. The nature of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So who broadcasted this message most effectively all over the world? Srila Prabhupada. So from this verse we can see Srila Prabhupada's transcendental position. Now, so one may say, well, I'm also distributing it all over the world. But where would we be? And how would we have distributed Krishna consciousness had Srila Prabhupada not have come and made this arrangement for us? It is only due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy that Krishna consciousness movement has spread the way it has spread all over the world and delivered those who have come under the shelter of this wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada.